A friend of mine from school, his name is Farid, a passionate lover of nature and animals. In a heartfelt message, said that to him, it was humanity that was the virus. And COVID-19 was the vaccine. My teacher Rameshji, in his satsangs, would say that we human beings are so self-centered. We do not realize that we are just one out of millions of species on the planet. And nature is not going to just look after one species. We need to realize that. It is only when we suffer that we start questioning God. Why did this have to happen? Why this pain? Why we? Why on a collective level? But do we also say, before this whole pandemic, did we say, why did God give us days without this pandemic? This is our human nature. When we suffer, all the why questions arise. When things are going well and fine, we take it for granted. That is the human nature. We assume everything should go our way. And it is the spiritual seeker who has realized that that is seldom the case. The seeker on the path has realized Maharaj's words. The expected seldom happens. The unexpected always does. So, what is the most valuable gift In times of suffering, is peace, peace of mind. You know, it is interesting to note that many people, including some spiritual teachers, especially in the Western world, think that peace of mind is no big deal. There are other gifts on the spiritual journey of life. In my early days at Rameshji Satsang, a teacher had come and later on said, "Oh, he is talking kindergarten stuff." So you can imagine my, I think joy would be the right word to describe what I felt. Joy. When I heard Ramana Maharshi's words on this topic. Once again, I would like to reintroduce you all, those who were with me yesterday, to this book, Conscious Immortality. I happened to pull it out of my shelf after many, many years, and I now know why it impacted me so much. Of course, the other books, Talks with Ramana Maharshi and many others. The pinnacle of the non-dual teachings of Advaita. But coming back to this confirmation as to why peace is the most crucial factor, I would like to read out two sentences. Association with the sages should be made because the thoughts are so persistent. Ramana Maharshi is saying this. The sage has already overcome the mind and remains in peace. His proximity helps to bring about such conditions in others. Otherwise, there is no meaning in seeking their company. The Guru provides the needed strength unseen by others. I would like to read this again, if you would allow me the indulgence. Association with the sages should be made because the thoughts are so persistent. The sage has already overcome the mind and remains in peace. His proximity helps to bring about such condition in others. Otherwise, there is no meaning in seeking his company. Ramana Maharshi also says, stillness or peace is realization. Peace is the inner nature of man. If you find it within yourself, you will then find it everywhere. Ananda is the bliss of not being disturbed by any mental activity or characteristics. Peace is what the great sage points to all the time. So one has to live the teaching one is following, and the result is measured by the degree of peace that one feels. One has to live by the teaching and not partially. I'll give you an example. Someone high up in a government office first wrote to me saying he is a great bhakt of Sai Baba of Shirdi. And he had seen my videos. Subsequently, we spoke briefly on the phone, and once again, he mentioned how immersed he was in Sai Baba's teachings and in worship of Sai Baba's Murti, and how dedicated he was to Sai Baba. So in one conversation, I mentioned to him in a very general way, not referring to him specifically, that I had read a very interesting anecdote wherein Sai Baba mentions to someone from the government offices that one should, although one is in a position of power, never take a bribe. Therefore, a true bhakt of Sai Baba, this is what I am saying, is someone who would not take a bribe, even though he was or she was in a position of power. That is living the teaching. And I did not hear from this person ever again. That is the depth of how much a teaching has impacted us. But many times we are very selective about the process. We only pick up pieces that we like, not pieces that disturb us, threaten our status quo, threaten our beliefs. Look out for that which you dislike. Look out for that which upsets you. Look out for that which triggers an emotion in you. That is your teacher. That is offering an opportunity to go within. If a person annoys you, what is it about that person that annoys you? Because that annoyance is felt in your own consciousness. What aspect of personality annoys you? And look at that deeply. And then see how the truth unfolds. Is that an aspect within yourself which you have hidden and covered under a blanket? Something you avoid, something you evade. Which disturbs your peace. Every evening, spend just 10 minutes thinking about what disturbed your peace during the day. And you will come to the conclusion that it is something which threatened me. As a separate entity, me and my beliefs, me and my concepts, me and my opinions, my precious me, and the way I view life. And when the me is not threatened, there is peace. Is the me threatened in deep sleep? Many of us these days are wondering, what will we do with our time? I receive emails where people say they are going crazy sitting at home. How many shelves in the house can they clean? But what about the internal cleaning? What about all the shelves in the mind which are stacked up with some very old clothes? These are opportunities gifted to reflect upon life, reflect on one's journey so far, to spend time with oneself. And as Maharaj said, we have always been used to using and making use of consciousness. But let us spend time in being established as consciousness, witnessing whatever arises in the moment. And it is perceived as a passive activity, but it is actually the most intense activity, because you are truly present and alive to all that is happening on the screen of consciousness. Not only outside events or people talking or sounds coming, but also every thought arising, every feeling arising, every emotion arising. That is the gift of witnessing. That becomes meditation. Witnessing all the movements in consciousness. And then understanding that all experiences in one's life have been the experience of me and my story. But I have always been present to witness all of it. All my pleasures, all my pains. I celebrated my 5th birthday. I celebrated my 18th birthday. My 25th birthday, my 35th birthday, and so on. But who is this I who was present through all these birthdays? That is the witness. That is one's own lived experience of life, that I have witnessed everything that has come and gone, good times and bad. I didn't even have to do anything to witness it. It is not an active process. So what happens when one starts witnessing more and more, is once again, as Maharaj says, a wedge is placed between experiencing and being. A wedge is placed between experiencing and being. One is not shaken up by experiences so much than one used to be earlier. Whatever comes in life, what is going to come, doesn't shake one's core up like it used to get shaken. That is the gift of witnessing. And a gift it is, which is already given to you. It is just the thinking mind with this activity oscillating all the time. When this thinking mind stops swinging, witnessing shines. I'll now take a look at questions if anyone has any, and also some I have received from the last couple of days' talks are there. Rajiv has asked, I often find that being quiet is considered in our society as a negative aspect. It is quite true. I remember, Rajiv, when I was young, in school, I used to be a very quiet boy. And I was always asked, why am I so quiet? As if something was wrong with me. So I grew up thinking that it is wrong to be quiet. Until I realized that was my nature. So you're quite right. But so what? Even if it is considered negative by society, you have the understanding that it is your nature and you are made precisely the way God has made you. Just as God has made those who tell you, why are you so quiet, to be the way they are. It's beautiful when one sees life through that prism. But in the favor of the quiet ones, I would like to add Nisargadatta Maharaj's quote that realized people are very quiet. It's in I am that.